wonderful. I won't say good morning again. But, you know, every new year, what do people do? What are some of the things people start the new year with?
Resolutions.
That's true. You know, and it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Because you're taking stock, you know, of life. You're saying, hey, how was the year gone by? How do I want to grow? Because, you know, Proverbs tells us, without a progressive vision, people dwell carelessly. Chaltai happens. And I've been meditating on Nehemiah in the past. That's in my Bible reading plan as well. You know, and I'm saying, you know, normally you hear about Nehemiah and they'll say leadership lessons, you know, this is how you must lead and this is what you must do and da, da, da. And I was listening to some other things, and this is what struck me about both Ezra and Nehemiah. It's just, what is Nehemiah basically? A story of people that were exiled into Babylon. And then Nehemiah has this burden. He hears that, you know, the walls are in ruin, and the king gives him permission to go and rebuild the walls. Correct? You familiar with that story? Sunday school, listen carefully, because you're going to do something like that this morning as well. Okay? And I feel, in short, the theme of that is the people had lost their way in God. They gave themselves into idolatry. They were a chosen people. They were the chosen people. In your mind, make parallels. Who are chosen people today? We are a chosen people. Okay? So I'm not going to do it. You make it for yourself. Yeah? And they gave themselves to other gods, and they basically gave into idolatry. You see, today we don't worship idols. We worship lots of idols. Trust me. There are idols of the heart. You know? And then there is this call to rebuild. Why had they forsaken God? Because they forgot the word of God. Suddenly the word is discovered. The scrolls are brought out. And as they read the scrolls, they realize, oh my gosh, the word of God has been saying this, but we have been living here. And then there is deep repentance, and there is a return to the ways of God. And you say, wow. And the wall was built in 52 days. Was it not? Wonderful. Picture of revival? Almost. Because Nehemiah ends, sadly, with people returning to idolatry. What can we learn from this? That we must never, never forsake the word of God in our lives. We need his presence. We need his word every day. Because you don't realize, if you remember, I said, it doesn't take anything for you to drift. You just stand, the tide will move you. If you've been in the sea, if there is an undercurrent, the water pulls you in one direction. You don't need to do anything to drift. You need to do something to stand. What is it you need to do to stand? Stand firm then in the word of God. And I think it's a season for us. I believe 2023 is about going deeper into the heart of God. You know, it's not about more miracles, God, signs and wonders, God, because he'll take care of that. When we draw close to him, you know, he says he will build his church. Let us dedicate our hearts to obedience. And like, you know, the Holy Spirit is on something when someone else has a similar word where you've not discussed. So Sam, please share.
We do this often as a band. We, before we step into a new year or new season, we think, we wait for the Lord to speak to us, and then we come together and we share. So on Friday, when we, Friday evening when we met, we each one of us started sharing. And then what God showed me was two letters, R-E, R-E. And I kept thinking, what is this R-E, R-E? And then slowly God started revealing things to me. So this is a season for our church, okay, where all of us are expected to or want to redo certain things. Okay, redo. And it could be anything. It could be resurrender. Once again, you come to God, you've realized you've gone too far, or you just need to come back and resurrender all over again. It could be resurrender, or it could be recommit. Recommit or reconsider whatever you have planned or decided, reconsider or return, like Nawaz said already, return. And we put everything into one, that is reset. So what is it that God wants you to do? What is it that God wants you or us to reset? What is that one thing? It's time to think about it, you know, because this is a prophetic word. And anything prophetic, we don't take lightly. We consider. And this is the beginning of the year. We received it for the church. So it is. That means it's for each one of us sitting here, standing here, each one of us. So let us all consider this, take it seriously, and hear from God. Wait in His presence. Hear from what is it that you want to resurrender or reconsider, rethink, or if you have gone far, return. Be it anything, whatever God speaks to you. So this is the season for us, and one thing, remember one thing, this is for us, for all of us to remember, that God is waiting with open arms. He just loves each one of us. And if there is something that is stopping you from doing this rethink, shame or anything, lay it at His feet this morning. Just lay everything at His feet. Completely surrender, abandon yourself. That's it. Just give yourself to Jesus this morning. Let Him do the work as you decide. Okay.
So Holy Spirit, we invite you here, just as you are already here, but we want your manifest presence to touch each of our hearts, God, so that you may reset whatever it is that needs adjustment. Okay. Now let's just lift our eyes to Jesus. We're going to just exalt His name this morning, because that is when you put every idol aside and you lift Him up as Lord and King. Yeah?
Rise, ooh, day and night, night and day, let incense rise.
Oh,
says. We can hear the roar of heaven, as prodigals are coming home again.
There is
a name that's reaching past the margins, calling sons and daughters back to Him. And as He says, we can hear the roar of heaven, as prodigals are coming home again.
There is a name,
there is a name.
It's going to go on forever and ever. So let's give Him praise one more time, okay?
Praise to our Lord, to our land, to the King of heaven.
I just want to add to what Sam and Nawaz was sharing regarding RE. So the reset word, those who, some of us know that I just took a reset, okay? And it's so it's so less of, like, so cool. So what I remembered is that what God told me just now is that RE also, rest also starts with RE. Refreshing also starts with RE, right? It's a season of refreshing and rest as well, this season. So how do we rest? It's the troubles and the worries and the cares of the world. That is what burdens us and pulls us down. So if you give those cares to Jesus, we won't be troubled. It's not, rest does not mean doing nothing. Rest is a spiritual rest where we trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord. And then we get this rest. We enter into the rest when we know that we need not toil. Toil is a curse which was given to Adam. Right? We need not toil. We need not be worried. We need not sweat. Right? That rest, that refreshing, that's what we are going to enter into this season. That's what I believe. RE, reset, rest, refreshing.
Yes, my knees shall bow and my tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah, my knee shall bow and my tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, you. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to your hearts. And my urge you is not to push it away because it's inconvenient or costly or doesn't fit into your understanding. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge, surrender. And whatever that reset is for you, will you resolve in your heart to do that? Whether it is return or restore or reconcile or resurrender, or even if it is rest, you've been trying to do things in your own strength. But to remember that apart from Him, you can do nothing. But you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Because it is in Him we live and move and have our being. So returning maybe to your first love. Returning maybe casting away some idols this morning. Returning maybe rekindling a heart that has gone lukewarm. Whatever it is for you, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, in view of God's great sacrifice and great mercy, to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. This is your spiritual act of worship. Amen. This is a good time to come to the breaking of bread.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Wishing you all a very happy new year. As we come to the time of breaking of bread, I'll be reading from Genesis chapter 22, verses 6 to 8. Genesis chapter 22, verses 6 to 8. It says, "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father,' and he said, 'Here I am, my son.' Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together." See, at the start of the new year, let's celebrate together and remember that God has fulfilled this promise he made to Abraham. How, you ask? Abraham made a prophetic statement in verse 8 when he said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." John 1:29 says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God sent his only begotten Son to be our burnt offering, our peace offering, our grain offering, our sin offering, and our trespass offering.' See, he is the firstborn Son, without blemish, who laid down his life on the cross to take our sins upon him and to offer his righteousness to us. So as we celebrate the breaking of bread today, let us come with a heart of thanksgiving and remembrance that God has fulfilled this promise of sending his lamb to take away our sins. So I request the ushers to pass the elements after I pray. Heavenly Father, we come today to remember that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, Lord. We remember that you have paid the price for our sins and you have imputed your righteousness upon us. We thank you at the beginning of this year that the punishment for our sins is atoned for by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. We are so glad, Lord, that you have paid the price for it all and we can walk in perfect righteousness and we can look forward to an eternity with you, Master. We want to thank you once again, Jesus. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.
Who else would die for our redemption? Whose resurrection means our rise?
Is it time enough to sing of all you've done? I have eternity to come.
Who else would die for my
magnify your name. You alone deserve
Let's give it up for Jesus. You know, it's such an amazing thing when we exalt his name above everything else. Not me, not nothing. You're saying, just God, be glory, be honor, be majesty, be praise. Power and dominion and riches and wealth belong to you and you alone. And the elders fell down and worshipped. And they started all over again. And when they were overwhelmed, they just fell down and worshipped. And they started all over again. And we did but a fraction of that this morning. Amen.
So let us worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let's read Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Let's stop there. God says, bring the tithes. God didn't say, pay the tithes. Do you know what's the difference? For example, if I lend my jewelry to someone, I say to him, bring me my jewelry. I don't say, pay me my jewelry. It doesn't make sense. Because you are bringing back what belongs to me, right? So, when we bring our tithes to our local church, which we should bring only to our local church. No, never. We can't eat in McDonald's and give the pay in KFC. So that's not possible. So we bring our tithes to our local church only as an act of worship and thanksgiving to Jesus. By doing this, we are saying, Jesus, you're the source of all my blessings and increase. It is you who supplies the life and the health to even work and to obtain this wealth. And I thank you for always blessing me and my family out of the riches of your grace. If we come with such a revelation and God declares that I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it. Amen. So he goes on to say, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. In Luke, we read in Luke 16, Jesus himself calls money as an unrighteous mammon. Okay? And by tithing, God has given us, our Father has given us an opportunity to make this money, the unrighteous mammon, holy. Let's read Romans 11:6. It says, it is written, for if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. So also when we bring the tithe, the first 10% of the income to the Lord, the rest of the 90% of it is holy. Holy means nothing like as Navas said, to set apart, which the devil cannot touch. What is holy and set apart only thrives and multiplies. So as for me, I would rather have the 90% that is holy and righteous than the 100% which is not. Okay? So you might be wondering why I'm always talking about tithes and when I come for the offering message. Yeah, I want to testify the goodness of God in my life through this testimony. You know, my son Viraj is studying in US, and he left last February 2022, okay? And in April last year, when I was reading the word, I was contemplating why in Genesis it's written, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, always it's written everywhere, they prospered. They prospered, they multiplied, their livestock was multiplied, they were filled with gold and silver. So I was asking the Lord, Lord, in Deuteronomy 28, it is written, I will lend and not borrow. In April last, when we were having a family prayer together with my husband, my son, and myself, we prayed that, Lord, the next fall semester fee will be paid by you, Lord. I don't want to borrow, take that loan from the bank, but you will give me the means to pay this fees of Viraj, okay? So, in all throughout May, we were just thanking the Lord for this provision. We didn't see it, but we started to thank Him for this provision. In June last year, we were supposed to receive a payout on one of our investments. But we knew this amount was not nearly enough to pay for that, for his fees for the fall semester. But when we received that payout, it was much more than we expected. It was much more and more than enough for his fees. So, all three of us, we said, Lord, this, you said, try me. This verse in Malachi says, try me. So we really tried the Lord, and He really showed up and blessed us with this money. So we decided to tithe this amount to the Lord, telling Him that you are the source of our wealth, and telling Him that you are the one who gives us the power to gain this wealth also. So saying that, we tithe the money in the first week of July. Okay, and after tithing, soon after that, you'll not believe, my husband Ephraim received his job offer. And this job offer has provided us more than enough that there's no need to take any more student loan. Praise God. Praise God. And in the end of October, Viraj told me that he has received a job offer also. And it can't be luck or anything. It is just God who opened the windows of heaven for us and poured out such a blessing that there's no room for us to contain it. That is true in our lives. That's why I wanted to share this testimony that the riches in the tithe. When we tithe to the Lord, knowing that and proclaiming that He is the source of our wealth. He is the one who gives us power to gain wealth. And we are blessed because of the cross. Because He became poor so that through His poverty we might be rich. So that is what. It is not our efforts. It's not our whatever we do that brings us the riches. It is because of the cross. It is paid for. He said, He cried out, it is finished. And so it is finished. When you trust in Him, and this is one portion where the Lord trusts us, money. And when we show our trust that, when by tithing we say that, Lord, we totally trust you that you are the one source who is blessing us in everything, in all areas of our lives. And when we do that, look at this, as you saw in my life, I would say He would surely open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And when you tithe, that 90%, no devil can touch it. It only multiplies and thrives. And never lack. You'll never go into lack at all. So, and that is the secret of tithing. What I believe when I, by doing this is, what I learned is, the Lord, our Father, not only makes us prosperous, but He also prospers our church. When all of us bring the tithes to our church, imagine, Word of Grace will be so prosperous that there will be no room to contain it, and we will be the one who will working and giving for the kingdom, for the extension of His kingdom. So that's it. So let us come and honor Him and worship Him and thank Him, saying that He is the source of our blessings, provision, and He is the one who gives us the power to gain wealth. Let's bring our tithes and offering. As we hold our tithes and offering, let's pray. And one more thing I want to add is, when I was a new believer, I always used to think, you know, under grace, do we have to tithe? Today I will say praise God and thank God that I get to tithe, because in the tithe is my richness and my prosperity. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for loving us dearly and calling us your beloved. Lord Jesus, as we bring our tithes and offerings today, whatever is a miracle and breakthrough we need, you are more than able to do it. We thank you, Lord, for pouring out a blessing on each one of us in every area of our lives. Lord, use this tithes and offering for the establishment of your kingdom on earth. Protect us from all evil, danger, and harm. In Jesus' name, amen.